Welcome to the Real Estate Briefing, conversations with experts and insiders. I'm your host, Jen Hill, a real estate enthusiast with over 30 years experience navigating the market's highs and lows across various asset classes. This podcast dives into the world of real estate, bringing you exclusive insights from top industry leaders, from Binswanger's board of experts, as well as your colleagues, from asset-specific considerations to market trends to portfolio strategies to optimizing transactions. We unpack what's driving value for clients today and tomorrow. Why listen? Whether you're a seasoned broker or just starting out, our candid conversations will equip you with the knowledge to engage the right experts to differentiate your services and to enhance your relationships with your clients. For the first episode of the Real Estate Briefing, I'm joined by two esteemed guests. We're diving into Binswanger's board of experts with the man at the center, Ken Anthony, and gaining insights into how to leverage the BOE from the head of the Southwestern region for Binswanger, Holmes Davis. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jen.
Morning. How are you, Jen?
Great, great. Ken, I was surprised to learn about how rapidly the board of experts has grown. And since the spring, Binswanger has added 10 experts. And as I understand it, more deals are being executed with the board of experts involved. So I look forward to exploring the topic of the board on our episode and helping our brokers learn how to engage the board and how to really bring more value to the client by bringing in those experts. Let's start by getting to know you guys. So I'd love to start with a question of, this weekend, any games that you will definitely be watching or sports you'll be paying attention to?
Yeah, I'll start. It's difficult to say this because the Cowboys have continued to be on a downward spiral, but we will actually be in Chicago this weekend with my brother-in-law, and we are going to Soldier Field to see Dallas versus Chicago Bears. So that's our focus for the weekend. My college team, Alabama, is off this weekend before they have the Georgia Bulldogs.
Ken, how about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm located in Savannah, Georgia. So go Dogs. And I like University of Georgia, watching college football. Clemson's another favorite because of involvement that I've had with that university.
I have a high schooler who's going to be starting to look at his college options, and you've both mentioned schools that are on his radar. So
Excellent. I'll
reach out if I need to.
Sure.
Great. Well, let's turn now to a topic near and dear to our hearts, which is the real estate space, and specifically Binswanger. So let's start with you, Holmes. What sparked your passion for real estate, and how did you come to focus on industrial?
So I guess I was born into it, Jennifer. My father started the Southern Division of Binswanger when I was 2 years old in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's where I grew up. We were super close, and I was always, he had me when I was from age 7 to, you know, all the way up to 18, he had me going to SOR meetings and IDRC back then, which is now Cornet, and just to be with him. It wasn't to say you need to get into this business or you'll love it or you won't. It was just to be with him, as you know, because we had that relationship. But through it all, especially as I got older, I started listening and paying more attention than just saying, "How you doing? I'm young Holmes. I'm little Holmes." I started kind of listening more about what they're talking about and what industrial real estate was. And just, I always took a special interest in how product is manufactured, and you look at where we are today with data centers and AI and semiconductors and all these things that run all these devices that we're talking on today, including Zoom. And it's just fascinating. Food processing plants, steel facilities, distribution centers for Walmart. I mean, you name it. We've done it. We've sold it. We've leased it. And it's just, it's an exciting industry and sector of the real estate world. It wasn't that easy then. It certainly isn't now. But I'm a competitor and I loved hearing no. And I can't tell you at that age how many people literally I'd show up in the front office and they go, "Are you here to deliver pizzas or why are you here, young man?" And I'm trying to, "Well, no, I'm actually trying to sell you a building in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina." And they're like, "Whoa, okay." So you can imagine all the doors that were shut in my face at a very young age. And again, I was always an athlete and a competent competitor. And I love now. I love the way that we could figure out a way to turn that no into a yes. And we still use that today.
I love that. And I love the fact that you really started in this industry. You were born into this, not only the industry, but also into the business. So that's a great story. Ken, you were not born into the Binswanger family. So I'd love to hear how you started your career and how you ended up with Binswanger.
Yeah, so funny enough, I was born and raised in South Jersey, and like similar to Holmes, I followed in my dad's footsteps, but he was in construction. And as we all know, a building has to be designed. First, it has to be envisioned, then designed, and then built, and then hopefully operated for some time before it becomes more or less a real estate asset. So, I started in construction. That led me into engineering and construction, which was my primary career. And what I've learned, through my life and through my experiences is that a building has a full life cycle from the moment that it's envisioned, to the moment that it's, in some cases torn down and the land is reused for some other purpose. And so, in the beginning of my career, I'm involved in the visioning and designing and building semiconductor fabs, data centers, life science facilities, office complexes, all types of facilities for all types of manufacturing verticals. I was introduced to Binswanger in 1996 when I was at C.H. Toom Hill. And we were acting in an advisory capacity to Binswanger in this collaborative role where they would bring in leads or we would bring them a lead and we'd work on things together. And so that relationship continued through my career in the decades, different companies that I worked with, different environments that I was in, all the way up until 2019. When Jeff Binswanger asked, "Hey, can we get a contract with Meisner & Wirst, the company I was with at the time, which became Excite, and to do this collaboration?" And we formed a sort of a solid relationship that was non-exclusive, but it was open for that bilateral collaboration. And then ultimately, that led me to what we called the Board of Advisors with Jim Kilcourse and John Dues and Chuck Pollack. And I got introduced to them and start working with them. And next thing you know, I became one of them. I became one of the Board of Advisor members, if you will. And my area of focus was chemicals, which was an area that the company needed some expertise, some ability to communicate and to collaborate with clients that were in the chemical business. And so that's how we got to where we are today. And of course, we'll talk a little more about that as the interview goes forward.
Awesome. That's amazing. I love the different path, but clearly landed in the same spot in the right spot. So now I'm going to open a question up to the both of you. And before we get into the real meat of the discussion, I'd love to talk about the board of experts overall. And you each come at the board from a different perspective. So I'd love to hear from each of you, how you would describe the board to your peers, Ken from the perspective of an expert, and Holmes from the perspective of the broker.
Yeah, so I mean, advisory is common in commercial real estate. What we've done with the Board of Experts, we've taken a look just a little further. We have all of that included in the Board of Experts that's common in commercial real estate. What we've expanded on is that technical capability. And that's really an outgrowth of the core business that Binswanger is in, which is advanced technology, advanced manufacturing globally. And these buildings are very technical. Data centers are a very technical real estate asset, semiconductor plant, life science facility, a pulp and paper facility, a chemical, any type of verticals that we look at where there's a manufacturing component, there's typically some level of complexity and so having that technical backbone, if you will, with our board of experts gives Binswanger that uniquely specialized differentiator where we can bring people to the table to our clients to help them in their decision making. Holmes, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with everything you just said, and you kind of took the words out of my mouth. The for a broker that's out on the streets every day knocking on doors trying to create that opportunity for this company, it's an incredibly competitive world in the real estate industry, not only around the country but worldwide, but in Dallas, Houston, these major cities, Chicago, where we all are, where we operate. It's even harder because you got the majors, the CBs, the JLLs, the Cushman & Wakefields, you name them. And they're so much bigger than us. They've got more people than we do. They claim they have more services than we do, but I would beg to differ on from that aspect based on what you said, Ken. We are more of a lean, mean, nimble SWAT team, I like to call it. And being able to go into a client's office or make that cold call, I'll call it on the phone, however it works, and to be able to present this type of menu. Yes, we're very, very focused on the industrial world globally, domestically, but there's so many services that we have and we offer nationally, internationally. But everybody will say we're global, right? All of our competition, oh, we're global too. And we are full service and we can do all these wonderful things. But when you go in there and you can actually show these brochures or sit on a Zoom call like this and show the actual slides that show the details as to how we are different, and you look at our board of experts from semiconductor to food processors to or food processing to power data centers, biomed, pharmaceutical, your client is looking at us in a whole different way because our competitors, some of them have a data center group or expertise. Some of them have a food processing expertise. But that's not many of those. There's two or three of them, as you know, Ken. But when you talk about the full, what I call full menu of services and board of experts and all the things that we can do, that separates us immediately from the competition. And the guy starts listening, he starts asking questions, and it leads usually into something that we can do that their current relationship with whoever the competition is not able to do. And that's where our angle is, and to get into that door and actually stay in.
Ken, let's dive a little deeper into the board of experts. And I want to ask you for an overview of the two parts of the board and the capabilities available on each part. And then a little bit on how people should be thinking about engaging the board members, if there's a difference between how they engage the technical board members versus the strategic board members.
Sure. Happy to do that. So, what was happening is through this year, we came into January 1st, 2025, with approximately five or six what we call core members of the board of experts. And these are folks that have received essentially a contract, a compensation contract, an agreement contract, an NDA. Those are the core board members. Today, we're up to about close to 35 people. We have folks that are PhDs, very deep technical knowledge in specific areas, true experts, technical experts. And then we have other folks that are more generalists or more into something that's maybe less technical, maybe more strategic, like logistics, supply chain, transportation modeling, things that are still, technical in their own right, but they're not what we consider technical from a maybe an engineering or construction, a facility standpoint. So a decision was made to bifurcate the BOE and let these two components kind of grow independently, if you will. Some people, like John Dews, kind of serves on both sides of it. And really, it's it's more of a just a differentiation so that we can start to focus on strategy and technical expertise as two independent components, all kind of wrapped in that same umbrella of the board of experts. The original concept was to have 11 verticals, and we wanted to have at least one or two true experts, people that were known in those industries, in those verticals, that were willing to and able to join our board of experts and to serve and to provide their expertise in a bilateral kind of arrangement, right? And from the broker's perspective, it just gives more bandwidth in terms of, well, what exactly am I needing right now? I need somebody that knows, private equity related to data centers in upstate New York. And there may be some kind of sale leaseback component. And oh, by the way, there's a logistics component because the same seller also has warehouses over in Illinois or something. It's a very, sort of complex Rubik's Cube that the brokers end up trying to put together to formulate deals, and not just the one-off where we're getting a listing and selling that listing, but maybe a portfolio of properties, right? And so these tend to get a little complex. And so the best way right now, for the lack of a better approach, is just have the brokers essentially come to me and either get introduced or let me know what their scenario is or what the situation is. And then I can kind of plug and play or recommend the different folks that are in the BOE currently.
Yeah, that's amazing. A couple questions I've heard come up a few times would be, one, how does compensation work? So as a broker, there's a lot of focus obviously on compensation. The other thing brokers care a lot about, and Holmes has touched on it a few times, is their relationship with their client. So how do we manage the relationship with the client, and when do brokers know whether to bring the BOE into a client conversation versus having a conversation with the BOE members and then using that to leverage in their direct discussions with the client?
Let me start that one off and then I'll throw it over to Holmes. But each of the core members that I mentioned are under contract. The way that the BOE members get compensated, they get compensated from the deal. That's one way, okay? And the amount they get compensated ranges anywhere from 0%, depending on if it's just an early conversation or some advice internally. Upwards to maybe 5 to 10%, depending on their involvement to land that listing. And in some cases, we have BOE members that are bringing the buyer. So we have consulting capabilities and that we can go out and land consulting engagements for Binswanger and bring additional revenue that has nothing to do with commission on the sale of real estate. So when that type of compensation gets engaged, what we're doing is asking the member or members for a proposal for their scope of work. And then we engage and we provide that to a client. And if we get selected, then we're off to the races and we're doing that kind of work for that kind of compensation. Again, separate from the commission from the sale of real estate.
Holmes, based on my experience in the brokerage world, the board of experts is a clear value add. And the way Ken talks about bringing in long-term industry experts who understand the technical aspects of operating these facilities into a real estate transaction is a true differentiator. So, how did you first engage with the board, and how do you leverage the board now with your clients? What's the perception of the board from your clients, and how does that differentiate you? You touched on that a little bit, but I'd love you to dig deeper into how that differentiates you when you are going up against some of the other players in our space.
Frankly, I believe we talk about when to engage. I believe it should be done as soon as possible. You present it, and everybody should have the information on who the board of experts are, their names, so that they can talk like they, even though they, some of our salesmen probably have not actually engaged with these board of directors. But today, someone going into a new business or a new company, or even somebody they know of but they haven't talked to them in a while, they should be able to pull that information up day one and see, A, okay, yeah, they're in the food business, but they're also in this type of business. And these are the types of things that our board of experts actually would align with, no matter what it is, including some of the other technical groups like our construction management team, like the Liquidity Services, who helps with equipment disposition. That's a good example, actually, that helped me. I've had a 30-year relationship, major corporation. I've had a relationship for a long time, and we've done great work for them. But as of about 2 years ago, they had a CEO change and then a CFO change, and with that came a new real estate director. Real estate director worked for Walmart. He was a CB guy and then a JLL guy. And long story short, we were kind of on the outside looking in. And so, as I said, I went back to the guy that's running the real estate, and he said, "Yeah, all you guys, like I said earlier, all you guys are the same. Everybody's selling the globe. Everybody does this. They can do disposition, they can acquisition, they can do appraisals, they can do investment sales. So really, you guys are all the same." I said, no, we're really not. Let me walk you through why we're different, and let me show you some examples of what we've actually done on food plants that were antiquated, and that's why you closed them, and where we were actually able to sell them even when you put a deed restriction on. And let me introduce you to a Brooke Olt, who used to be with Campbell Soup. And when you say that, they're going, "Oh, wow, Brooke was on my side of the fence for a long time." But when you actually say, "Hey, we have Brooke Olt," or in the semiconductor world, Chuck Paulett, who used to run Intel real estate for 20 years, or a John Dews, who used to work for GM, on their side of the fence. Again, instant credibility. The guy goes, "Interesting. I did not know that. Tell me a little bit more." That's so important. So again, if you're doing your homework and doing it the right way, you should know enough about the company, where they own their real estate, where they lease it, when the leases are expired, and most importantly, kind of their strategy on doing business and where they do business, and how maybe you can look at our board of experts and say, "We ought to have, instead of me making a cold call by myself, I need John Dews on that call, or I need Brooke, or I need Jason Shepherd to talk about the power, and the capabilities that he has, or Jim Kilcourse for the life sciences." I mean, the list goes on. So to me, you should gauge them as soon as possible.
I love it. And Holmes, do you typically bring the board of experts member to a client conversation, or you refer to them in your discussions with the client? How do you approach that?
I refer to them a lot, because I've done, the good news is I've done enough business with most of them. I can just, I
Yeah.
don't need a cheat sheet in front of me. But if I need it, and this is what I tell all of our salesmen, you've got it. I mean, if you need it, take it with you, show it to them. The client appreciates that. But you'll do enough of these where if you're doing your job, you're going to use these people. So you know them by name, you know their expertise, so you can talk and it comes off the tip of your tongue like, he's your best friend. That's the best way to do it, to start using them. And but yeah, I mean, there's been several Zoom calls in the last, 6 months where I've actually brought them into the call. And that's my preference, because to me, when you got your first shot, you want to take, you want to have the gun fully loaded. You don't want, if you can have six shots, have six, not just three. And so if you can, I believe bring them in right up front, blow these people away so they're not asking a lot of questions. It's the biggest differentiator, or one of the biggest differentiators we have as a broker, a salesman.
Yeah, and Ben Swinger is not going to win on scale, right? You're not going to win on the size. You're going to win on the fact that we bring something that is unique to the
Absolutely.
conversation. We're going to bring something, bring a individuals who have deep expertise, aren't surface level, but they have deep, decades-long expertise doing what this client really needs in order to achieve the best value that they can. And I think to me, that's what is so impressive about the board of experts. It's also probably very hard for our competitors to replicate, right? It's
No.
going to be hard for those other firms to replicate the board of experts because of the fact that it has been built with such credibility and authenticity. It's very true to the nature of BinSwanger as a company to have bring in these experts and augment the expertise that the broker brings to the transaction with expertise about the asset itself and the physical plant. So, for both of you, can you give some specific examples of value that members of the board have contributed to either transactions or just general client relationships?
So I'll throw a couple out there. Most recently, we were selected by Evonik, a global chemical company, for a listing in Waterford, New York. So Nick Beardren and myself and a few other folks in the Northeast region there supported that. And I think that having, again, the board of experts collaborate with the brokerage gave Nick, as the lead broker, that leg up to go get that listing. Another example is Lockheed. So this is Chris Pennington, Tim Pennington's team there in Philly, trying to get a listing for a helicopter plant several years ago. And they brought me in to go in front of the client there with my aviation aerospace background. And plus, I had worked at Lockheed, so I was able to walk the halls pretty easily. And the customer commented that Ken came in. He was the only person out of all the brokerage teams, and mind you, that JLL is their MSA provider. Ken's the only one to come in and ask the type of questions that gave me credit or gave me confidence in BinSwanger's knowledge of our facility. And a lot of our clients, these facilities are not just the facility, it's their baby. They've worked there for years, maybe sometimes decades, and it's just like their baby. So they want a company that has credibility, confidence, knowledge, and experience to represent the property correctly. So those are two examples that I experienced.
Love those.
Two others, real quick, semiconductor manufacturing companies globally. They actually have surplus plants coming available. I am instantly, and I have sold a fair amount of semiconductor facilities, and I've had a lot of experience through the years. But I instantly called Chuck Pollock, who again, 20-year veteran of Intel, and also Jason Shepard, because a lot of these facilities and these fabs have a critical piece that say if it's no longer going to be a fab because of whatever the reason is. What else can it be? And we're always looking at that as a broker. What else can it be besides what it was built for? We made the pitch, David Binswanger, Jeff Binswanger, myself, Chuck, and Jason. And this one group in particular said, well, we've used so and so, we really like them and all this. But and we made a clear differentiation when we talked about our results on other fabs and how we've sold them not only to fab users, but to biomed pharmaceutical alternative users like data centers. And that perked his interest. But when Jason actually got on and spoke specifically about the amount of power around his facility today, not just to his site, and showed all the different lines coming in to get them dual power and the fiber connections and all these other things, the guy's just going, how do you do that? Where are you coming up with this information? I can't even do that. So that right there should differentiate us. I mean, the guy's asking a lot more questions as a result of what Jason Shepard and Chuck said, and we all said collectively, but he really looked at us different.
Today, we've heard a lot about the Board of Experts, and Ken and Holmes, your insights will help BinSwanger's brokers better understand how to engage the board. Why don't we close with some fun questions? So, Holmes, I'm going to start. I'm a real estate junkie, so I always love to hear there are a lot of internal and external forces at play in our real estate sector, and in particularly in the manufacturing sector. What do you think? Or where do you think the industrial real estate sector will be in about 5 years?
Good, great, obviously an incredible question. And if I could tell you, I'm better off right in Vegas, probably, if I could actually answer that question 100%. But I'm going to give you kind of my my take based on history and what I'm seeing actually right now. It's very interesting if you look at what's happened since the pandemic with manufacturing, we'll call it industrial space. Industrial asset, as Ken knows and all of our experts know, the industrial asset class has always been at the bottom. From the time I started this business till about to whatever 2020, 21, when the pandemic came down, because A, it's manufacturing. It's not dirty environmentally, it can be, but the rents are extremely cheap. The values are cheap. Now, after the pandemic, it totally flipped and it became number one. And it still is because of all the reasons we know. Amazon, Walmart, everybody during the pandemic, everybody was at home. They couldn't get their groceries at the grocery store. All the things we know what drove e-commerce. So that created a huge demand for industrial space, distribution mainly. But now, because of that, with broken supply chains, now with tariffs, et cetera, and just our global world, we are seeing a tremendous amount of manufacturers reshoring their operations into the back to the United States. Yes, domestic manufacturing companies that are based in the United States, but also international companies. Now, the hard part for companies right now, it really helps our business. It used to be you could build a building in 12 months when a company's looking. So they could build it, or the cost was $60 to $80 a foot. Now the price to build is going to 150, depending on, I'm not talking about semiconductor facilities. I'm excluding food processing here. I'm talking about your basic manufacturing plants. Those things are up to $200 a square foot to build. But more importantly, it's taking 2 years to build a plant. And people don't want to wait that long because the cycle is could potentially be over as far as the upside of their business. So they don't have time. So my biggest concern in our industry right this moment is inventory. We don't have enough buildings to sell.
Love it. So Holmes, for our friends on the board of experts who might be listening to this podcast, what two actions can they take to set themselves up for success in working with brokers?
Good, great question. And it's funny you asked that, Jennifer, because I've been talking to Jeff Hipshman and our team and the board of Binswanger. Because everybody's talking about this incredible group that Ken's put together and how valuable and incredible it is. And some are selling it, some are not. My feeling is if people actually knew more about it, they would use it more. And Ken's done a tremendous job. All these people have done a good job of talking about it in sales calls and different things and introducing it. But I think my opinion is our salesmen should probably have a call every single one of them and talk specifically about how to maybe engage with their clients and what separates us from what you're seeing from other companies, et cetera. And so I think a more of a dialogue between them would be good, and maybe even some more case studies that they could send to our brokers. I think if the more communication about this capability, whether it's them talking direct to the brokerage guys, so that they can sell it better, but every month or a quarter, just to say, hey, here's some examples of what we're doing and why you should be doing more yourself, Mr. Broker, wherever he is in the United States.
Great. Last question for you, Holmes. What is one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
It's a pretty simple thing. Stay humble. Work your tail. It's more than one bit of advice.
I'll give
It's
it to you. You can hit as many as you need.
not one I can't tell you, but persistence will always pay off, in my opinion. The never give up attitude, no matter how many no's you see, that personally has made a difference in my life and my career. And I know any broker that has succeeded, you have to have that mentality. But relationships, I mean, constantly cultivate and work on them. And so I know that's more than one bit of advice or one piece of advice, but all of that makes a huge difference to me and has in my career.
No, it's great. Great. Thank you. So, Ken, we've heard a lot about the BOE, but I'd love to hear in three words, or what three words would you use to describe the BOE?
Well, that's a bit of a tough question. I would say expertise is one, which is valuable. Most everyone that's participating have more than 30 years of unique experience that specialized in areas that are valuable to our clients. I would say the other is that technical knowledge, which is constantly changing. And people point to AI and reliance on AI, both a benefit and maybe also a burden, I guess. But really, there's nothing that today that replaces that personal technical knowledge that people develop over decades in their career. And then the third is this leverage. And I think it's been brought out in this interview that if you're looking at commercial real estate, the sort of the traditional approach, having the board of experts enables the broker to leverage the deal and also to, in most cases, supplant the competitors, particularly when they're incumbents. That's what we've seen the most of. And that's what I enjoy the most, actually, to see us being able to leverage the capabilities of our brokerage team using the BOE. And then going and beating, a competitor for a listing, that's really rewarding to me.
Okay, so I've got a true false for you, Ken. What your perspective on brokerage has not changed since joining Binswanger. True or false?
Well, that would be false. I think that I've learned quite a bit about, walking in the shoes of the brokerage, if you will, and to Holmes' point of having to cold call and nine no's before you get a yes or 100 no's before you get a yes, that persistence, that ability to kind of get up and shake yourself off and go at it again and just keep going. So that persistence is something I've witnessed firsthand. I've heard about it, and I've seen it in all sales environments. That's a common theme, but certainly in brokerage, it's tough because not only do you have to get the listing, you have to market the listing, and then ultimately you have to close the listing. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I understand where that compensation comes from because everybody certainly earns it, in my opinion. So yeah, it's changed dramatically
Great.
for the positive, for sure.
Good. Okay, Ken, what is one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
Well, I tell everyone I've had a blessed career. I've had a blessed life. And at my stage of life today, as I look back, to be honest, I really wouldn't change anything, quite frankly. Certainly try to be more humble, try to throw some humility into the game earlier on. And then just the blessings along the way of working on the space shuttle program and working offshore as an ocean engineer, getting over into CH2M Hill and working at Intel and Hewlett Packard into semiconductor, and then over into life sciences and everything else that I've been able to avail myself of in my career. It's all kind of led me to where I am today, and I really wouldn't choose anything else than where I am today. It's pretty good, really.
I want to sincerely thank Ken and Holmes for your willingness to join this first episode of our podcast. Your insights are so valuable, and I'm confident that listeners have been taking notes on how to engage the board. Please reach out to Ken or Holmes to further the conversation about the board of experts and the value the board can provide to your clients. To you listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this inaugural episode of the Real Estate Briefing. We would love your feedback on this episode and to hear about what topics would interest you for future episodes. Email me at jhill@binswanger.com with episode ideas or thoughts on today's topic. And please join us next time.